turn there. In a few moments, I'm going to set that up because they're going to share some of the good things that God has been doing. And then I will pray for this new season that's coming upon us. But I'd like to also have you hear a good thing that God did in Tom Neal's life. Tom, come on up here if you wouldn't mind. Tom is a... Tom is one of the elders in the church. A couple of weeks ago, he was taken to the hospital, was in ICU for several days. His kidneys shut down. He was unable to breathe, going into a deep sleep. And through the prayers of people, I really believe that through the prayers of you, those who agreed, I know I woke up in the middle of the night and said, "Oh God, you got to spare this man. You know, you've got to help us. I can't handle another death in the congregation right now. So please." And I know that Cheryl, his wife, and others, we just were praying, and God spared his life, and he's here today. So when I say, "Tom, boy, it's good to have you here today," I mean, it says it with a little different emphasis. It's good to have you here. He wanted to just give a testimony, and I feel like that's appropriate, especially in the sense that this is a day where I want you to know that God's doing some good stuff. So share with us, Tom.
Well, it's good to be among the living. When we returned home from the hospital last Sunday, we decided to stay home and not go to church. We decided to watch the service on the internet, and we listened to Tim's sermon on Lazarus and how it took Jesus 4 days to respond to taking care of that situation.
That was last week, John chapter 11, where we talked about that.
And I went over to Tim's house Tuesday and told him that I had a similar experience in the hospital. I had me a Lazarus experience. Lazarus experience. And it took about 4 days before I felt like Jesus showed up. Before God showed up, of course, the first day and night I didn't have a clue what was going on. They were trying to save my life. But the second day and night was probably the worst experience of my life that I can ever remember. I didn't remember a thing about what happened during the day. But that night I was convinced I was dead. That I had died. The walls in my room felt like they had closed in on me and that I was in a casket, and all night long it felt like the ceiling was getting closer and closer and closer, as if a casket lid was being lowered on top of me. And so I figured, well, I must have died. I must be dead. And I kept expecting this bright light to start shining and angels coming to get me and take me home to be with Jesus. And there wasn't any bright lights. There were no angels. And all night long, I kept reaching out to God and I couldn't find him. I kept trying to touch Jesus and I couldn't touch him. I kept trying to feel the Holy Spirit and I couldn't feel him. And all night long, I just become terrified that maybe God had rejected me. And it was just a horrible, horrible feeling that I couldn't find God. That maybe I'd missed the mark. The third day, I was a little more coherent. I remember people coming to the room and praying and. I don't remember some of them coming to the room. My wife said that many people came. And that third night was another horrible night. I remember my mind just racing everywhere. Just racing everywhere except to where God was. Again, I couldn't find God. I tried to make my mind find God. I couldn't find him. I couldn't touch Jesus. I couldn't feel the Holy Spirit. And I wondered, am I sliding back again? Am I gonna make it through? And then on the fourth day, the doctors came in. Excuse me. I wasn't going to do this time. The doctors came in one by one. Everything's all right. We're going to send you home tomorrow. It was like I got a fresh breath of the Holy Spirit. Felt like I'd been born again, on that fourth day. When I got home, I for a few days I tried to pray and praise the Lord and tell him how grateful I was. And all that would come out of my mouth was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And all I wanted to do was get in his presence. Couldn't pray about a thing. Couldn't thank him. I mean, there wasn't a thankful word come out of my mouth. It was just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But I could sense my spirit being revived. It's hard to explain, but there was a revival going on. There was a revival going on inside here. And my physical body was being revived too. I've spent the last 7 months with a knee replacement that I've been in excruciating pain for 7 months. And I haven't had any pain in that knee since I got home. Thanks, Mom. I was thumbing through Psalms the other day, and the Lord brought me to a scripture in Psalms 39:4. It says, Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Mm-hmm. We're just a whisper in time here, folks.
Yeah.
Just a whisper in time. And we're frail, and without Jesus, we're nothing.
Yeah.
We're absolutely nothing. And God's not done with me yet.
Have a devil.
You know, he's not done with me yet. And if Jesus is not alive in me, and I'm not in him, and his life is not being lived out through me, I'm just a dead man walking.
Yeah.
Okay? Our purpose here on earth is to touch people and to lead them to Jesus. And to lead them to Jesus or show them how to get there. So God bless you. I thank you for your prayers. I know God touched me. I'm a miracle standing here. I believe with all my heart. Yesterday I did 6 hours of yard work after being out of the hospital for 7 days.
Isn't God good? I hope that's encouraging. You know, I think the most memorable ball games that I've ever gone to are not the ones where my team won the game 15-0. It's a baseball game. It's usually the ones at ninth inning, it's 3-3. And they go into the 10th, and all of a sudden bases are loaded, and they hit the home run. That's when it's really scary. But that's the most memorable games that I can remember. Sometimes when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, when you come close to death, there's something that God does, and he's faithful to show up when he needs to show up. Well, in a few moments, you're going to hear a whole lot more of the good things that God's been doing through the team that we sent to Brazil. And in order to introduce that, I'd like to have you turn with me, if you're not there already, to Luke chapter 10. And let me make a few comments and then bring them up to share with you. Luke chapter 10. If you just keep your finger there, just turn one page back. I think we should probably even start with Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Here's the time when Jesus calls his 12 disciples to himself, and it says this: when Jesus had called the 12 disciples, Luke chapter 9 verses 1 and 2, He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out. Say that with me. Sent them out. And the reason he sent them out was to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now turn back to chapter 10, and you see now he's not just calling the 12, but he's now calling 72. And if you were to read the book of Acts and throughout the New Testament, you'll see this continuing until you begin to realize that he's called you and me. And what he asked for them to do, he is now asking you and I to do, and he wants to send you and I out. So we see this expanding in Luke chapter 10, and it says, verse 1, after this, the Lord appointed 72. So now he's gone from 12 to 72. And he sent them two by twos ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And they were going to do the same things that the 12 had. The 12 had been given exousia, that's authority, and dunamis, that's the Greek word for power. Wherever there is a position, exousia is a position of authority. When you become a Christian and you begin to relate to him, you are at some point hopefully awakened to the fact that you're not just saved and going to heaven, but you have been given a position that now can release heaven to happen on earth to some extent. So I am now given authority. I have a position. I'm a son of the living God. And that position carries with it dunamis or power. Remember that old phrase, walk tall, carry a big stick. I forget that there's a television program, but it's almost like you can walk tall because God's invited you to be a part of his plan. He's the king of all glory, and he wants you to tag along with him. He's chosen you, not someone else. He chose you, and he's given you this authority, this position, and with it comes a big stick. You've got some power. You've got a staff. Moses had a staff. You've got something now to offer the world. You may not even think you have anything to offer, but if you will realize and recognize who he is in you and step out in faith and do what he tells you to do when he says, I'm going to send you if you will go, you'll begin to realize what he has. Sometimes we want to get our act together so that we can go, but God says, I want you to go so you can get your act together. Well, let's get trained and let's get developed so that then I'll know what to do. No, you'll learn how to do it when you start doing it and you don't know what to do. And so God works both ways. Now, there's nothing wrong with preparation. I went to college and tried to develop myself with the ministry, and there's always that element of it. But there's so much of life that you don't learn through a textbook. You learn through actually going through it. And so at some point, Jesus says, it's not just me come to do things. I'm going to send you out. I'm going to have you go into the highways, byways, into the coffee shops, into the stores, the Targets, the Walmarts, and the gas station. And you're going to run into people and you're going to minister. We have a couple coming over to our house in just 2 weeks. I talked with them at a gas station of all places. We're filling up together and now they're going to come to my house. You don't know where you're going to meet people. The bulk of the ministry that Jesus does is not in the synagogue. It's not in the temple. It's not in this church facility. Thank God for what he does here. I'm glad he does things when we show up. But this is not where it's happening. It's in about, what time is it? It's 11:45. In about 45 minutes, I'm going to send you out. And hopefully in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to have eyes to open to say, okay, where's the person I'm supposed to touch this week? Well, I'm going to go get some groceries at Best Buy, or I'm going to go to Save My. I don't know where you shop, but maybe they're going to be there. Where am I going to be? And you're sent out looking for the people so that you can expand the kingdom of God. And that's what he's doing here. He's sending them out. Now we are a church that is committed. We are a family that's committed to reaching out. If you believe that, would you raise your hand? That's what God has called us to do. We're not just supposed to be a bless me club. Let's gather together on Sundays and we'll have a few other meetings where we can all get charged up and filled and all be happy in God. Thank God for that. And I want to be happy. I want to be filled with the Spirit. But it's so that we can go out and touch the people in our neighborhoods, in the places that we frequent. And so he sends them out and they begin to believe what he says, and he begins to do marvelous things. Now, when these 72 were sent out in Luke 10, some tremendous stuff happened. When the 12 went out, they were given power to cast out demons. Now, I don't know what you think about demons. There are some people who don't believe in an enemy. The word Satan is like a little fork and a guy with horns and a tail. It's not really real. But listen, if you believe in God, you got to believe in the enemy. And I'll tell you, you can spend too much time focusing on demons and darkness, or you can focus no time at all. And I think both extremes will lead you in the wrong direction. Some people don't believe that there are demons. Other people think everything is demonic and we have to always come against it. Well, this Brazilian team, when they were sent down there, they came against some demonic powers. I mean, the people were exhibiting some things and doing some things that just wasn't natural. I think a lot of people in some of the prisons that we have around here, they're facing demonic powers. It's not something. It's just like when you get on meth or when you get on some drug, you find yourself, you've had an altered personality and you do things that you wouldn't do if you weren't on drugs. And there are people who have demonic powers and forces that they do things that they wouldn't do if they were freed. And so this team was sent down there and they touched some of these demonic powers. And you'll hear some of those stories. Some of the peoples had diseases and they were healed by the power of the living God. Now, they come back. Check out verse 17 in chapter 10. The 72, they come back and it says, they were rejoicing and they said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Now you got to understand, they came back and it wasn't like, boy, Jesus, the demons even submit to us in your name. Man, Jesus, man, you were right. I prayed for someone and those demons left. I asked you to heal and they got healed. I can't believe this. That's the kind of way that they were. Maybe they were even more excited than that. But here, listen to what Jesus says. This is interesting. Verse 18. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice in that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now, you're going to hear a lot of rejoicing about what God did. Is that wrong? He's not suggesting there that we shouldn't rejoice that the demons are subject to the name of Jesus when it's spoken out of a loving relationship by his children. He's saying, you need to understand that there's a very powerful temptation to seek my power and not my presence. And I see in the church today, we seek his power. But where do we find the people who are wanting to spend time with him and falling in love with him and seeking out to him? Have you ever had children? I've got two of them. They're grown now. And every once in a while, they still play this game with me, to be honest with you. But I can remember it in high school days especially. They'd come into the room and they'd sit on the edge of their seat. Hi, Dad, how are you doing? Now, I knew they didn't want to know how I was doing. They wanted $20. And as quick as I gave them $20, hey, thanks, Dad, and they're gone. See, they didn't really want me. They wanted the money that I could give them. We used to sing a song. I don't even remember the name of it. Oh, Lord, we seek you not for your glory. We seek you not for your power and your outstretched hand. We seek your face. David said that. I seek your face. I want your presence, oh, God. That's why we got to be a church who keeps saying, oh, God, we seek your presence. And wherever you proclaim the name of Jesus and his presence is there, there will be healings. There will be deliverances. There will be touches from the supernatural realm. But, oh, it's so dangerous, the temptation to be powerful in this day. I want to be a man who says, I seek your presence. And then, God, let your power be the revelation of that. So that's what he's saying. He's just wanting the disciples to be cautious. Well, we as a congregation are committed to sending people out. We call it outreach ministries. That involves missions overseas. But it also is sending people like you and me out into our neighborhood. I'm trying to reach my neighborhood as maybe you are as well. And I don't flaunt it. Most everyone in that block, if not everyone, knows that I'm a pastor at Koinonia. I don't make a big thing of it. I just am who I am. They've discovered it somehow. But I took a couple across the street a few weeks ago. Just 6 ears of corn. I bought it from the Ward's corn place on 12th and Fargo and bought some. Just little things like that. We're reaching out to our neighbors. See, we are sent people on a mission. And so this team was sent, and we send teams to India. My wife will be going to India in February. We send teams to Mexico. We send teams to Spain. There are several different places where we send them to. And this team of about, 16, 17 people. Matter of fact, you can make your way up here and walk as I'm talking. We sent this team to Brazil. And on this, I think it was like 10 days or 11 days, And they just came back. What was it? How many days? 12 days total. They came back this week. They went to at least six or seven, and I know the itinerary changed a little bit, but I looked at the schedule, and as I prayed for it throughout the week, I don't think you had even a day off, did you? It was like you flew in that day, and it was on the run. They'd go from city to city, six or seven cities, and touch not just churches, but cities. So the way that things are constructed in Brazil is when you have a meeting that it can be heard virtually throughout the whole city, and much ministry took place. And they touched a lot of people. Every straight night, they had something going on, sometimes two things during the day. But I felt like because we are committed to this as a church, and because this is one of our vision statements, is to be a church that reaches out, I wanted you to hear a report. And hopefully we can do that in about, 25 minutes for the sharing. And then if you could take about maybe 5 or 6 or 7 minutes to talk to us, maybe what the Lord is saying to us, I'll come back up and pray, okay? So if we can do that, we'll do that. So let's welcome them and welcome them back.
Good morning, Koinonia family. It is good to go, and it's good to come home. Amen. And it's a blessing to be back in an air-conditioned church, okay? It's a blessing to have the sound system that we have. It's a blessing to have smooth paved roads. But we are thankful that the presence of the Lord truly did go with us on this trip. And this was a life-changing trip for many people, not just in Brazil, but on the team as well. And I also want to mention that we do have with us the CD that we recorded 2 years ago. This has been a long time in the making. We have it with us. It will be for sale in the lobby at the media center at the close of the service. They're $15 a piece. It is in Portuguese, but Pastor Tim listened to it this week and said that he could feel the Holy Spirit even through the Portuguese. And so we have song translations back there. A lot of the songs you'll recognize because they're songs that we sing here at church. But we are very thankful for what the Lord did. I want to say that this team did a marvelous job. They were a fantastic team. Everybody had a job that they did over and over again. We packed up, drove, set up, ministered, packed up, and we did that every single day. And even though we struggled a little bit with sickness, I want to say that the Holy Spirit was stronger than the sickness, amen, and we would break through time after time after time. And just to give you an idea about the dynamic of our trip, we started our first service out in a large church in the city of Salvador, Brazil. And we were kind of thinking we've got a lot of new people this year, and so maybe for the ministry we'll pair the new people with the old people so they can kind of learn as they go and won't be shocked when it comes to the ministry time. And then I gave the altar call, and about 300 people came forward. And so the new people with the old people concept went out the window about that fast. And all of a sudden, everybody just had to jump in, all hands on deck, and start praying for people and ministering to people and working with people. And I just want to commend all of them because all of them just got right in and were led of the Holy Spirit and ministered to people prophetically and led people in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it was just amazing to see what God did through this group of people. So we want to hear from them this morning just about their perspective and what the Holy Spirit did through their lives. So Crystal, if you would go ahead and come forward, please. You can go
ahead and start. First of all, one of the extensions of Juração Justa, that's the ministry that we're part of, Koinonia, is an orphanage there. And last year we got to see the children, and this year we came back to see the kids. And it was such a blessing because we see they look so healthy, they're excited, they're doing well in school. And the Lord has blessed the Juração Justa with a couple. They're 21 years old and 23 years old that have dedicated their lives as being the house parents to these children. There's 10 of them there. And you can see how God is using them to nurture these children. And these children are not just healthy physically, but spiritually. You can hear it in their prayers and their talks. And we have just really been a blessing to them. So I want you all to know that we all have 10 children there in Brazil that we are adoptive parents to. So we thank you guys for being there for them.
Thank you, Crystal. Crystal's actually taking this very much to heart. If you ever see her wandering around Hanford collecting bottles and cans, it's because all that money, all that money does go to the orphanage, and she actually has one little girl that she's kind of adopted and who even wrote her a poem this past time and read about her. We had several new people this year on the trip, and so I want to hear from a new person's perspective. Mariel, come up here, please. Mariel is a recently made United States citizen as of June. She's from Panama. And God is doing wonderful things through her life. And so we just want to hear from her perspective about how the Lord worked through her.
Yes, God really not only helped me grow in Him, but He set me free from so many things and so many fears that I had. And one night we had to minister to the college group in the college that they have. And usually every night Miss Sandy will pray and she will kind of introduce the people how the Holy Spirit will move you if they wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So then I am praying, and I'm really new to this thing. So as I'm praying, I feel that God is telling me to ask a girl I'm praying for to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking, oh, no, why me? You know, out of all people, why me? And so I look around, and, well, I couldn't do anything. I was about to pray. So I don't know how I got to tell her to pray and ask God for it. And as she's praying, I'm praying. I'm like, God, I only know a few words, and I don't know anything, but I have to do this. So I told her, I don't know, I got some boldness that said, God is going to give you some words and you're going to speak them. And so I prayed for her and I started speaking in tongues a little bit, you know, and she started speaking like this. And then she kept on praying and I thought, well, she probably knew already and she tried to make me feel good. And at the end of the service, she came up to me and she was like, thank you so much. I couldn't stop speaking and I felt so like elevator, so lifted up, and I just thank God for that, because I was thinking, oh, I couldn't do it, but it's really, God just wanted to use somebody, and amen. So that was it.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Mariel. Aaron, veteran Aaron. The Brazilians love Aaron, all right? There's a lot of the Portuguese culture in Brazil, and Aaron is very much Portuguese, and the Brazilians are very loud. And if anybody knows Aaron very well, you know that Aaron's also very loud. So he has a lot of friends down there who think that he really is Brazilian. But let's hear about his perspective on this trip.
Just because she said that, I'm going to tone it down and be really mellow today. It was my second year to Brazil, and that played a significant part in my confidence level in ministering and expressing Portuguese as best I could. So it was a blast for me, but one significant event, it was one night, I'm sure we'll discuss a little more as we hand around, but it was just radical. I mean, the Holy Spirit was going nuts that night, and it was really cool. And the doors to the, you can't call them doors really, to the church, it was a garage door. So you just, you know, roll up this huge barn door, and that's how you enter the church. So it's completely open to this very tight ghetto city. And anyone passing by could hear this service, which is very cool. And so anyway, I was taking pictures that night, giving Danny a little break so he could do some praying. And we met as a group and began to pray over the night. And the Lord really impressed on me that, you know, we had left the 99 sheep in search of that one lost sheep. And the story of the one lost sheep just really just struck home for me. And so I expressed that amongst the prayer group, and Sandy was one who kind of said, you know, I really sense in my spirit you're interceding for someone, and really press into that, and I believe you're interceding for someone right now. And so I really hit that hard and just began to pray, you know, with the confidence, you know, God's given me that, you know, we're interceding for that one lost sheep. We've left the 99 in search of that one, and just got to experience the heart of God that He would gather this ragtag group from Hanford, California, send us across the world in search of that one lost sheep, and do an amazing work there. So I'm taking pictures as it goes on. The ministry is phenomenal. There's so much prayer happening. You know, we're casting out demons and just filling people with the Holy Spirit. It's just powerful. And I was taking pictures outside where we had the merchandise set up, and this gentleman, you know, looked very typical of a neighborhood like that, just this elderly, probably mid to late 70s, just sulking. I mean, dark, dark eyes, head hung low. He's, you know, looks fairly emaciated even physically. And he's just, you know, looks very sad. And so I, you know, gave him my pathetic Portuguese greeting and, you know, tried to say hello and went on with taking pictures. Well, he ended up coming up. He had sought out one of our Portuguese assistant translators, I guess you could say, but one of the guys who was helping out and came up and said he wanted to recommit his life to the Lord. And anyway, I didn't see this. And Sandy pulled me aside and said, Aaron, this is our lost sheep right here. This is the guy. And he's come up and wanted to recommit his life to the Lord. And so I gave my best attempt to do some Portuguese with the help of a translator, led him to the recommitment. And the guy just broke down. He started just weeping and weeping. And it was powerful to see. The most significant part was the end of the evening, seeing this guy bounce around like a schoolboy around this Portuguese guy, asking him questions. And he's, you know, bouncing around and grinning ear to ear. And I was just staring at this man like, is that the same guy that I saw earlier? Just no way. And the heart of God just really stood out to me that, you know, that's what he wants for his lost sheep. And he expects us to, you know, go on that hunt for him. And it was really cool. So, amen. God, praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Aaron. Amen. Tiffany. I believe the Lord used Tiffany in a very, very special way to minister at the Bible school one particular evening.
One evening we went to the Bible school, and there were several of us who had been asked to share. And when we got there, I was sitting there, and I really felt like the Lord had told me that I needed to wash somebody's feet. And so I kind of just sat there for a while because I really wanted confirmation. So, and he just kept, you know, confirming it and was bringing to mind about Jesus washing his disciples' feet and stuff. And so I had already felt like he wanted me to share my testimony. And so when I got up there, I shared my testimony, and had asked a girl if I could wash her feet. And so she allowed me to and stuff. But the meaningful part was is that we did not find out until several days later that this girl was a prostitute. And the people at the Bible college did not accept her because of her background, because she dressed differently and she had tattoos. And so what that really did was to show them that she was accepted, yeah. That God accepted yes. her, you know, and that they needed to accept her too. And one thing that it showed me too is that sometimes God asks us to do things that we think are crazy, that they don't make any sense, but he sees the whole picture and he knows the meaning of it.
Amen. Praise God. That's awesome. Thank you, Tiffany. Joe. Amen. Big-hearted Joe here. Amen. Go ahead.
First of all, I'd just like to say it was an honor to be a part of this team. This team was truly anointed. Everywhere we went, God stretched us. He showed up every single place we went to. And I think what I bring home on this trip most of all was just my faith has been increased by leaps and bounds. I just didn't realize how much authority we have being God's children and how much authority we have in that Jesus' name. It's just remarkable. But there was a night in particular that I don't think I'll ever forget as long as I live. We were at a church, and we were just doing our regular routine. And we had set up, and we'd got together and prayed. And just in front of the stage, sitting down in chairs, just something happened in the heavenlies, and God just showed up miraculously. It was so, so powerful. I never felt the Holy Spirit that strong. I'd never felt it that long. And we just didn't want it to end. I truly thought the roof was going to blow off on the church. It was so powerful. And at the end of that night, when it was all said and done, God had just moved miraculous. It was just all kinds of healings. People possessed were being healed. God just did it all. My saying in Brazil while I was there was God was shaking it up, and he just truly, truly shook it up that night.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Joe. Nancy.
I'm going to talk just a little bit more about the orphanage and the kids there. What you have to know is because of your generosity in sending us, is we were able to provide these kids with brand new outfits, not hand-me-down clothes. They got new toys that were still in the boxes and in the packages. One little girl in particular, you know, I went to the 99-cent store because I could buy more for them. And I got color books, and she grabbed her color book and kissed it and just hung on to it. And I thought, you know, it opened my eyes that in my life I have so much materialistically that I don't need. I just don't need it. God has truly changed my life and my heart. And I know with Danny and I, we kept saying, why are we going? What do we have to offer? What do we have to give? But God showed us that just a reaching out, just a hug, just a love. And I know there are probably some of you sitting out there that are our age. We were the oldest ones on the trip. And it was like, okay, God, but the word says that our latter days are going to be greater than our former days. And I'm claiming that. I am claiming that I will never be the same. And I know it's because the hand of God has greater things for us.
Amen. Praise God. That's awesome. Robert.
Hi there. This year was, there was a lot of challenges. And other than like last year's, I had a lot of leadership responsibilities and different things. And I did a lot of playing up on the platform, more so than I normally did. But one time I had an opportunity to pray for somebody, and because Jim had asked me to pray for a gentleman who had hurt his hand. And I didn't really know a lot about his background or anything, but I found out later he was a percussionist. He was somebody who actually played with Michael Jackson. And as I looked at his hand, it was actually bruised and discolored. I could actually see there was an issue with it. And as I put his hand between my hand, and I could tell it was tender and it hurt, as I put my hand over his hand and began to pray for this man, I could actually feel the bones in his hands move. And it was actually startling, you know, at first, just looking down. I go, wow, what an amazing thing. And after I got done praying with him, he praised God and he thanked God. And I couldn't really understand what he was saying because he was talking in Portuguese to me. I'm like, okay, great, I got to go. And but he jumped up on the platform and started wailing away on Chris's djembe, which is kind of like a congo, and just started playing with everything that he had. And he was good, too. The guy had some stuff. But, you know, each year, this is my fourth year to this place, going down to Brazil, and it is an amazing trip. And I could tell you beyond any uncertainty that God is building something in Brazil. He's using this team. He is using this church, and year after year, things get bigger, things get better. Yeah. And I thank you very much for your support.
Amen. Thank you, Robert. Praise God.
So, man, God just did some really awesome things as we've been hearing. But what probably my favorite part of the way the Lord used me, it was wild. But we began praying after the worship. People, you know, just as Sandy said, there were, you know, 5, 6, 7 people deep, you know, lined up all the way across the stage. So we were having to pray here, work our way through, work our way back. And so we all began doing that. And somehow I ended up actually towards the back of the auditorium there. And a gentleman caught my eye. I was actually going to pray for another lady over here on this side. And then for some reason, I felt just drawn to this gentleman. And so I asked him the best as I could, mostly hand motions, if I could pray for him. And he nodded and agreed, and as I walked over and just laid my hand on his forehead, as soon as I did, you know, he starts rocking, which I was like, great, you know, because everyone's been falling out under the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm like, sweet. And all of a sudden, I realized that he's kind of rocking in a different way, and then he makes his way down to the floor on his hands and knees and just kind of starts squirming around, pawing at the ground, snorting like a bull. I'm like, Lord, this is not you. What? And, you know, first thing I'm thinking is like, man, I need an evangelist. Where's Jim at? I need Sandy. Somebody get up here that knows what's going on. Because I'm like, and then the Lord brought to my mind, he said, you know what? No, you're here for a purpose. You're here. I've appointed you for this specific time. You are here. I've given you authority. So you need to assert it. And I said, well, okay, Lord, you know, if you want me to. So, you know, I began just praying for him and casting out this demon, telling him what's up. And, you know, Jim came up to me and he says, you know, we need to go pray for the pastors. I'm one of the only other pastors that was on the trip. So he said, we need to go minister to the pastors. So we do that, go pray for the pastors. And then I look out in the auditorium again, and there's a different pastor from Brazil that was praying with this guy again. And I was like, well, let me go pray a blessing over him at least, you know, just make sure everything's cool. I get to lay my hand on him again, man. Dudes just start snorting and go. I'm like, dear Jesus, what in the world? And in that moment, the power of the Holy Spirit just came over me like it never has before. And just the boldness and authority just came over me, man. I seen a couple pictures and I was like, man, I don't know what I was doing. But I had grabbed this guy's face and I grabbed this guy's face. He was a big boy. And my goodness, just the power of the Lord came over me so strongly, and we were able to cast this demon out, and it came. I just noticed the dude blew in my face. I'm like, what's he doing? And then Jim goes, oh, there it goes. And the demon came out with the blow. It was just, man, the power of God is so awesome. And we have that authority, man. It's ours. He's given it to us. And then at the end, I was just wiped out, and I was like, Sandy, this guy needs to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Sandy just walks over him, didn't even lay a hand on the guy, and just says, in Jesus' name, be filled. And he starts speaking in tongues immediately, just raising his hands, rejoicing. Talk about a change of his countenance, man. It just went night and day difference. And it was so special. I'm real manly. We embraced and just, it was just awesome to be able to rejoice with him and see that freedom. And I just, as a pastor, I feel like the Lord has a word for us as a church today. And that is that this is for you. This is for us today. This isn't something that was, back old New Testament times. This is for you today. That's what the Lord would say. This is for you today. And I feel like the Lord says, if you have the ability to lay hands on somebody and pray for healing, then you have the ability to cast out demons. Because in the scripture, it says that the Lord sent him out to heal the sick and what? Cast out demons. There's same scripture. Look it up. The authority and the power has been given to us, and this is for us today. And another thing is in Jeremiah 19th chapter, I believe, it tells a story about the potter's house and how the potter's working the clay, and he just mars one, and he begins to build a new one. And I feel like the Lord says, can I not do to you what the potter does to the clay? He wants to take our expectations that are not high enough. He wants to take our faith level that is not high enough and destroy that mess and build something, because God is going to be doing something. He's going to be doing it soon, and he wants us to be ready, church.
That's why we train and we develop these teams before we go, because it's truly about ministry. It's truly about everyone doing what Jesus has called them to do. This is not only for the disciples, the apostles, but this is for everyone, not just for the pastors. So we develop teams. We teach them before we go, and then we go down. The best way to learn is hands-on. So we go down and we begin to do this, and so people begin to go out and say, hey, there's people here. You're going to pray for the sick tonight. You're going to lay hands on people tonight. Interesting, because Chris was talking about that guy with the demonic, and I'm praying for people, and they come to get me, and they says, hey, Chris really needs you back there. I said, why does Chris need me? I mean, there's so many people here. And they said, well, there's a demon back there. Well, we were going to pray for the people. There's a demon manifest. I go back. This guy's down on his hands and knees, snorting like a bull. And he's just pawing. So I go back there. I said, Chris, what's up? He said, man, this guy's got a demon. I said, that's no problem. So in the name of Jesus, let my hands come out of him. And he just starts going, oh. So I said, Chris, we got to pray for some people. I said, what? I said, Joe, right now, you and Danny get down here. And they go, what? And I was like, that's what we trained you for. Get down here. We don't have time for this. Let's go, Chris. So we went praying. Well, at the end, when the guy come up after that, and Chris went to him, we started walking that way. And Chris says, Jim, I feel like something. So when Chris laid hands on him, started praying, this guy was huge. And if you would have seen the picture of them, what it actually looked like was two grizzly bears in the middle of a stream fighting over the last salmon that was available. I mean, it was incredible. But you know what? The bottom line was, Chris did what he was trained to do. And the demon come out of the guy gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. So we were teaching people to do that. On the plane, as we were going down, Tiffany started, I guess we'll have to call her, Higher Altitudes Ministry. Because on the plane, before it even began, people sitting by her, she began to witness to them. She began to talk to them. She began to tell them this guy's daughter had cancer. He'd been in Pittsburgh, seeing what they could do for her. He didn't want his daughter to die. Tiffany starts witnessing to him, telling him about the power of Jesus Christ. So she was witnessing going. And then it's really funny because people were going through, and Holly. I mean, Holly got some boldness on her. No, I'm talking about Holly. Holly got some boldness on her. We're praying for these people. So we had them lining up and we're praying. Well, they had to come up this little narrow way. So these people, after we pray for these people, then the others couldn't get through there because, like a Sherman tank, Holly was going through there laying hands on them. People are hitting the floor. And I was like, see, they were just clearing people out. People couldn't get any farther. They just kept going. I said, that's good. But they were trained and they did what God had called them to do. Another incident with Marielle. We're praying in this place and there's hundreds of people literally down there to be prayed for. And all of a sudden, here comes Marielle. And she comes to me and said, Jim, I think you really need to come over here. She said, you need to pray for this person because this person's on the ground and this person's down here. And they're saying, no, no, I'm enough. I've had enough. I think it's a demon. I said, no, Marielle, I don't need to come over there. You go back and do what we trained you to do. She said, I will go, but I still think you need to come over. So that was something we had trained. we had trained them to do. And hey, the bottom line is the girl was set free. That's what we trained them to do. It's about them doing that. This year we're talking about how God is increasing the things and building in Brazil. We ministered to at least 5 times more people than we'd ever ministered to. Over 1,300 personally had hands laid on them. That's real conservative. 450 baptized in spirit, that's a very conservative number. We had thousands that were literally in the services. We were trying to think, because some of the services, there were several thousand. I mean, that's just the way it comes, 2,000 or 3,000 per service. And that's what we saw, plus the radio, television. So God is really building something. He's really doing something. And it's like Jesus sent them out 2 by 2. He called the teams. He anointed them. That's what God is doing today. Also, before we prayed for people filled with the Spirit, we prayed over pastors. Pastors said not only would their church never be the same, but they also said that never would their town be the same. And you got to remember, as we were worshiping and as we were ministering, it was open air. The word was going out to those whole areas. And there would be people in centers. And I looked and there'd be people out from their houses. They'd be in their windows. They'd be sitting out on their porches, out in those places, listening to what God was doing, listening to the word of God. And also, pastors prayed over us. We want to pray for you guys. And said, okay. So as we would pray for them, or they'd pray for us, everyone had the same word. They said, God is going to use this team. He's going to use this ministry to impact all of Brazil. And that's what God is doing. He's expanding things. I would like to really thank this church for your prayer support. We knew you were praying for us. We'd get emails, hey, people are praying for you. People wanted to know what was going on. Also, thank you for your financial support and for your heavy involvement that you had in this thing. We could not have done it without you. And you are a huge, huge part of the harvest and what God is doing in the world, this church is. I mean, it's amazing what God is doing. Just think right here. And one town we were in, same exact size, two towns of Hanford. And there was an impact made in the whole city changed. And now we want to see God make an impact here in Hanford. And there are people in Brazil now praying that God will make an impact in this city, just like was done in theirs. But we want to thank you so much for what you've done. Even though some of you couldn't go yourself, you sent us like Apostle Paul said. Not that I desired, he said, your offering. He said, but you would have spiritual fruit, he said, abounding to your account. Amen. God bless you, and thank you so much for your prayers and your support. We love you guys.
Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You know, as we were, just to wrap it up, when Tim and I were talking about the service this weekend and kind of structuring how we were going to do everything, and I felt like the Holy Spirit gave me a word for this church, for Koinonia. And I know that Tim read a passage of Scripture in the book of Luke, and I would like to read one in the book of Mark. It says right here, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. And then it says down in verse 20, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working in with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. And as I was thinking about and praying about the service this weekend, I remembered what Tim said that he had shared last Sunday, and that was about Lazarus coming out of the grave. And yet, even though he was alive, he was still bound, and he still had grave clothes on. And the Lord calls us to go and be the ones to take the grave clothes off. And if you look in the very next chapter in the book of John, in John chapter 12, in the very first verses, you will see that they actually have a big party, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. They have a big party for Jesus. And the Bible says here in John chapter 12, it says, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead, then they made him a supper, and Martha served. Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table. And then Mary takes the ointment, and she breaks it open, and she pours it over Jesus' feet. And as I was reading that portion of Scripture, something very interesting struck me, because we all know Martha, and Martha has gone down in history as the one who serves. And we know Mary, because Mary has gone down in history as the one who worships. And yet Lazarus, who is the one that had been raised from the dead, all we know about him is that he sat at that table. And the Lord spoke to him and said, you know, God has not taken our own grave clothes off so that we can just sit. God has taken our grave clothes off so that we can be the ones that serve, so that we can be the ones that worship, and so that we can be the ones to help do the work of the kingdom of God here on the earth. And as I was driving that afternoon after our meeting, I was driving down the street here. I just said, Lord, what would you say to your people? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me very clearly and said, tell them that it's time. Tell them that it is time. And I remember how many years ago the Lord started this work with a very clear vision and a very clear direction. And that was that people here at this church, at Koinonia, would be trained up to be strong in the word, to be ministers every day, wherever we go, and that we would be people who would do the work of the Lord, not just here in church, but that we would do the work of the Lord every day of our lives, and that we would be people who would grow, and who would be strong, and who would be solid, and who would be mature. And I believe that it has been easy at times to buy into a mindset that is a really spiritual grave clothes. And I think that some of us have to take some grave clothes off of our mentality. And I think many times we compare ourselves with cities that are larger or with ministries that have more resources perhaps, or we say, well, you know, this is not, the demographic of this area is different. And I believe those are grave clothes that the Holy Spirit is telling us this morning that it's time that we take off, because God has greater things for Koinonia. The Lord spoke to me and said, there are many precious gifts that I want to release in this church. There are many precious things that I have for my people here. And it's time to start moving in that direction. It's time to take off the limitations and the things that we have said, we can't do this because we're not educated. We can't do this because we don't have the resources. Let's break through those principalities and powers and believe that we trust a God who is greater and who can do everything. With him, there is nothing that is impossible. The very last service that we ministered in down there was in what is called a favela, and that is one of it's one of the regions of the cities down there that are controlled by drug lords, and it's a region of districts in the cities where they have unmonitored crime, and the police will not even go into those areas. And we went into one of those areas and ministered in a church, and people had gone there 33 years ago, and they went into that area, and they said, we're breaking through this mindset. We're breaking through this area where people live like animals, where there's nothing but prostitution and drugs, and children are prostituted from a very young age. And to see the thousands and thousands of people who are strong in the Lord, who are mature in the Word, and who are making a difference in the district of the city that the rest of the city has thrown away and said, there's no hope here. And I have to tell you that when I saw that work, I was so moved in my spirit. And I said, God, if they can do that, then we can do that, because we have so much more than they do. And they have taken the refuse of the earth, literally, and they have broken through the curses in those people's lives. And folks, it's time that we raise up, and it's time that the curses are broken up, and it's time that we go forth into greater things that God has for us. Amen. And so just remember that the Holy Spirit would say this morning, it is time. Thank you.
Would you stand with me, please? I want to ask you to do something. Some of you, if you're visiting for the first time, this may be so new to you that you'll never come back. I don't know. You talk about demons and people getting filled with the Spirit and falling on the ground and speaking in languages that they don't know. I don't know where you're at, but God is alive. And there is an enemy that needs to be defeated. And when God looks at the world, when he looks at your neighborhood, when he looks at our city, he sees a lot of needy people. He had a conversation with the old prophet Isaiah. And he says, he's talking, and he says, who will I send? Who will, I got some needs over here, and I got some needs over there. Who will I send? Well, not me. I've got my car going to be worked on tomorrow, and got the oil change, you know, scheduled. And, oh, yeah, not me. I got to go grocery shopping tonight. And no, not me, because I've got this. You know, who will I send? God says. And Isaiah said, here I am. Send me. Here I am. Send me. God wants to send you out with authority today. And I want you to respond if you're willing. And I don't mean to put anybody on the spot. So, and this is awkward always to do. But don't raise your hand unless you really mean it, okay? But if you are willing to say, Lord, here I am. That's the left hand. Everybody can do that because we know you're here. Okay, so you can lift your left hand. Go ahead. Everybody lift your left hand. You know you're here. But if you're willing to be sent this weekend, even stretching your frame of reference, stretching beyond your comfort zone, stretching beyond what you know to be true. You've heard some things and you don't know, but okay, God, if that's you, I want to learn about that. Say, lift your raise your right hand and say, send me. Now, those of you who have your right hand up, let me tell you, God, there's a new anointing that's going to come upon you. You're going to break into that. Now, you may need some training. Jim mentioned the fact we train these teams. Do you know you can receive training this Friday night at Night of Worship? There's a time where the team is going to be praying for people, and you're able to come on Friday night. There is a Emerging Leader Seminar September 4th that you can register for. It's not going to cost you anything. You can just, all you have to do is show up. God's going to do something that weekend. I have something in my gut. I can't prove it to you, but I believe that we are on the verge of something. I believe that the next 3 or 4 months is preparation for 2010. I am expecting and believing for a mighty outpour, and I have no idea as to what that means, but I am believing that God's going to be able to move. And if we're not prepared and ready, we will miss that opportunity. Now is the time, really, to prepare ourselves, to ready yourselves. So whether it's coming to Night of Worship, getting some training, getting some exposure, coming to a leadership seminar and being touched, give up the time. It'll be worth your efforts, and say, Lord, prepare me, send me. Father, you see the hands of those people who are up today. You see our willingness to be like Isaiah. I can't produce a miracle. I can't get people filled with the Holy Spirit. I can't heal diseases, but you can, Lord. You can, Lord. John the Baptist, I read the other day in church, here's what it says. It says, even though John the Baptist never performed a miraculous sign, there are some of us who will pray for me and we'll never see a miraculous sign. And yet, God, what we have to say is true, because everything that John said about you was true. Our job is not to produce anything. Our job is to be witnesses, just to pray for people and release you to do whatever you want to do. Send us, Lord, this week. Now I pray your anointing Holy Spirit will rest upon all of us, but especially those who raised both hands, the right and the left. I ask you, God, they'll walk out of this place looking for opportunities to release your kingdom to help people. And I pray these things, Father, in your glorious Son's name. And his name is what? Jesus. What's his name?
Jesus.
In your name, Jesus, people are made whole. In your name, Jesus, people are raised from the dead. In your name, Jesus, diseases leave. In your name, Jesus, deliverances take place. So once again, we speak your name, Jesus. It's in your name. We leave this place. Use us this week, we pray. In your name, amen. Would you go in the power of the Holy Spirit today? Don't be sure to check out. If you're going to go to Financial Peace, go to the guest services. If you're going to sign up for the seminar, go to the guest services. Pick up a CD from the team. You'll be blessed if you do. God bless you today.